Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. A private room with a view and a flat screen TV and a nurse on call. Welcome to the Hospital of the Future. Hi, everyone. Welcome back for day three of our health article for May. This is Naomi, and I'm thrilled that you've all joined us again for this really fascinating article about healthcare and hospitals and how a space can help heal you. If you haven't been with us for the last couple of days, we'll begin with a little bit of review. Now, first of all, back with us is Josh.
Hi, Naomi. Great to be back. And it's been a really interesting discussion.
What has stood out to you the most?
Well, we've talked about how patient care is being impacted through design. This is a topic we talked about in last month's Advanced magazine, where we think about how the space around us and how art and science are coming together to improve our lives. Mm-hmm. And it's in this case, it's an architecture firm that's improving the hospital of the future.
Right. I always like it when we have articles that kind of touch on more than one category. It's health, but it's also design. And it's so fascinating to see how those two come together. All right. Well, also back with us are our healthcare professionals that we're so thrilled to have here. First of all, let's begin with Sarah today. Sarah, what has been a highlight for you from this article?
Well, I was really interested in the fact that there's a lot of things that happen in the hospital that kind of scare people and can bring people back into the hospital after they've been discharged. And I was actually surprised at the magnitude, how much that actually happens.
Mm-hmm. I was too, and I think it's something, of course, that the healthcare professionals are not trying to do, but it's easy for some of these things to happen, right?
Mm-hmm. There's lots of errors in, say, medications or in surgery or falls and stuff like that that can actually impact a patient's stay longer in the hospital mm-hmm. or having to come back in after they've left.
Right, that readmission that can happen as well. So I think we talked a lot yesterday about how it's so important to try to prevent some of these injuries and accidents, but it's a big challenge, too. Okay, well, also back with us today is Rose. Welcome.
Thank you, Naomi. It's great to be back.
So what stood out to you about yesterday?
What stood out to me is that we're taking into consideration not only the patient's physical body, but also their mind, that providing the space for them is really going to help them mentally get better and to, mm-hmm. with this open space and these big windows and having their own TV and being able to, you know, see photos of their kids on the internet, that this whole space is just going to help the patient so much more.
Right. They're getting wired. The rooms are wired to help patients feel more comfortable and more at home. And I hadn't really thought about how much that can affect someone's health as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think having that distraction, mm-hmm. Bringing the outside world of the hospital into their hospital room, having that distraction from the pain that they're in or, you know, the thought of their diagnosis or their medical condition, that these things can distract them from this and lead to a better outcome and hopefully a quicker discharge from the hospital that they can leave mm-hmm. earlier.
It sounds like the more normal they feel, the easier it is for them to sort of get back to normal.
Yes,
right,
definitely.
In reality.
Right.
Okay, it's a great point.
And I've heard of some of the pediatric areas getting bright colors and music, but I hadn't thought of more adult-focused areas in a hospital getting these kinds of treatments as well. Do you think, I know you want to go into adult service, right?
Yes.
Sarah, will these things make you a better care provider?
Oh, yes. It will help me provide the best care, and it will help us organize our care better. It will give us the space to work with patients and help them heal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, not only is it going to help the patients, but it will help the healthcare workers, that when we are in a room, we have more supplies available to us, that we can have time management, that we don't have to be running to the supply room to get things, or we have more room to help the patients move around and stuff like that. It'll just help us with our time management.
Sure. And I do think that the space you're in affects your mood a lot. And the better mood you're in, the better care you can provide. I mean, even for me, I mostly work in front of a computer day to day. But when I have, when I made a switch from an area with no windows to an area with windows, it made such a difference for me, just productivity-wise, just coming in the morning and feeling excited about starting my day. I think the environment really does affect us as workers, too.
I think it also plays into if you have happier patients, your nurses are going to be happier because you have less grumpy patients.
That's an excellent point.
Yes.
Do you think we could get windows here in this recording studio?
But they'd have to be soundproofed, you know. It gets complicated. Yeah, friends, we don't have any windows here.
No. But we do have recessed lighting.
We do.
Which was a word from yesterday. When something is recessed, it's set within a room, set back from other things.
Right. So in that case, it was the washroom that was recessed in these rooms, as you can see on the diagram on page 37. Now, we actually continue our reading today on page 38, but we're going to flip back and forth to this illustration so that you can continue to sort of imagine how this room of the future will look.
The room's layout is novel, too. The space is divided into three zones: family, patient, and clinical staff. The entire window area is given over to the family and other visitors, with extended seating transformable into a bed. The patient zone includes the bed, the toilet, and the media wall. The staff zone has a dedicated sink separate from the patient's bathroom, a computer screen for electronic records, and a medicine supply cabinet refillable from the hall, allowing for accurate, timely deliveries and minimizing patient exposure to microbes.
So the room's layout is novel, and when we say novel in this case, we don't mean a book that you read, right?
No, we mean something that's brand new and innovative.
Okay, so in this case, the space, the room, is divided into three zones. Now, do you usually have different zones in a hospital?
You do, but you don't really think about it. But when you put it like this, there is an area for the patient, there is kind of a seating area for the family, and then an area that the nurse or doctor or aide will move through and kind of do their work in.
Does that sound helpful to you, to sort of have your own space in the room?
Yeah, it gives you a lot more area to move and to do your job effectively, and it's very helpful to have a space of your own.
Yeah, I think I would imagine that even as a patient, it would feel less like the nurse was kind of up in my business, you know? Like, I would feel a little invaded being in this room in the hospital, and so I could see maybe the comfort level increasing as well.
Yes, definitely. I think it makes a patient feel like, this is my room. Mm-hmm. I'm not just coming to visit this hospital room. This is my room, and I get to make my space. I get to have my bedside table, and if I need help accessing anything, I can ask the nurse, hey, can you get this from my bedside table? Right. And so I think it really helps the patient feel more comfortable. And then as nurses, we have our area in the room where there's like a computer, and it says for staff use only.
Right.
And so we can have access to that computer where we can pull up patients' charts and not have to leave the room.
Mm-hmm.
So very helpful.
I also think it's interesting that they put some thought into the patient's family visiting the room as well. That's also an important area of care in terms of the support that they're getting from family members. And I've spent the night in the hospital a few times with my wife after she's given birth. And in both of those rooms, there wasn't a lot of thought put into the partner in the room. It was a pretty uncomfortable night. But in this case, they've given the family visitors area some thought.
Right. The entire window area is given over, or kind of just given to, the family and other visitors, with extended seating transformable into a bed. So basically like a pull-out couch, something like that. I think that the example of your wife having your kids is a great one, because a friend of mine just had a baby, and I said, oh, do you think that, you know, your husband will stay over at the hospital? And she said, I hope not. I would love to have him there, but I need him to feel well rested. And he can't do that at the hospital. And I thought, oh, that's really a shame.
Was she sharing a room or did she have her own room?
I think it was her own room.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes even in some of the sharing rooms, it's even harder.
Right.
You got additional family members coming in. But when something's transformable, it's moved from one thing into another. And yes, the couch I slept in both times wasn't transformable into anything.
Some of the patient rooms that we have at a hospital I work at are, since they're double rooms, actually the family has to leave at 9 o'clock. And they can't come in again until, I think it's 7 or 8 in the morning. Mm-hmm. So they can't even stay overnight at all.
Right, which in some cases wouldn't be a bad thing. But in others, you really need that support. And especially I think of people who may have some special needs or maybe younger patients. You know, you need support. You need your mom. All right. So to have this whole family zone in the room sounds great. What does the patient zone include?
The patient's zone includes their bed, their toilet, and the media wall. So they have their bathroom close by and all the things that they need within their area.
Right, and all that wired stuff we talked about yesterday, like the movies and the internet connection and the doctor's schedule and so on. So the patient really does have kind of an element of control there, which I think is one of the things that a lot of patients don't feel like they have in traditional hospitals.
And I know for me, I'm kind of a control freak. And if I go into a hospital and I get that control taken away, then I really feel even more uncomfortable. And I don't feel like I am in control. And so having the patients have their own area and you are in control, like you can do this, I think will just make a lot of patients, you know, be at rest and at ease and just feel more comfortable.
I think I've had experiences where we've moved from room to room and we weren't in one room throughout our entire stay. Is that common in your hospital, Sarah?
The floor I work on, actually, the patients get discharged pretty quickly, so they don't move from room to room. But I have seen it where if they need a single room, say a patient has an infectious disease that they need a private room, then move a patient out of that room into another one to provide that room to be like an isolation room or something.
Right. And when that happens, I think that can also make the patient feel more uncomfortable.
Right. And moving to these single rooms where this new floor plan of single rooms, I think that'll totally eliminate, so take out patients moving room to room because there'll be no reason for them to move rooms if they do not have a roommate.
Right. Okay, good. Now, the staff zone is exciting, isn't it?
Staff zone is good. It gives us space to move and...
It says you have a dedicated sink.
Yeah, so hand washing is a big one in the hospital, and so you need that sink to wash your hands when you come in and out of a room.
Well, and again, this goes back to that idea of preventing those diseases that can be contracted in the hospital. You don't want infections and so on, right?
Yeah, and they always promote hand washing as the number one.
Right. Okay, so what else is available there for the staff?
Well, it says they have a computer screen for electronic records. And Rose, I think you mentioned having a dedicated staff-only computer is important as more and more electronic records are used in hospitals and we get away from paper charts and into digital forms of patients' health records.
It actually helps with when you do your assessments or when you have medications to come into the patient's room and to do a double check to prevent those medication errors and to have that computer in the room with the patient. It's you pull it up and it's right there, your patient's right there. It's very convenient to have everything close by.
Okay.
Are still things done primarily on PCs or have any hospitals introduced tablets or any mobile technology?
We use PCs. The tablets they're trying to implement tablets. Mm-hmm. There is a couple hospitals I've heard of that are actually doing that, but I haven't worked at any.
I think we've actually done some articles on that in the past about some of the apps that are being created for this kind of thing. It's really fascinating. Another thing they mention here is this medicine supply cabinet refillable from the hall. Now, why would that be a good thing?
I think it's a great thing because then the people refilling the medications, they don't have to go in the patient's room. And so that's eliminating one more person having to go into the room and disturb that patient. I mean, the patient is already getting disturbed from the nurses, the cleaners, the doctors. And so being able to supply the cabinet from the hall will eliminate a lot of noise and allow the patient to sleep more.
Okay.
And a lot of times when you have a lot of traffic into a patient's room, it opens up the room to infectious diseases and, like it says, microbes, which are like bacteria and viruses that can be spread from room to room if you're not careful. So it eliminates that whole process of going into the room and potentially causing your patients to get sick.
Right. Okay, so a lot of excellent solutions here in this new layout. Sounds like maybe something we'll be seeing in more and more hospital rooms. But what else is important as they're looking at this revamping of how hospitals are set up? Let's continue with our next reading.
Privacy predominates. For all the architectural innovation, the most significant change is the shift to private rooms, which will both improve care and save money. Per-bed construction costs are higher for all private hospitals, but occupancy rates are higher too, potentially 90% to 95% at an all-private hospital versus 75% or so for a double-room facility. As numerous studies show, sharing a hospital room significantly increases the chance of acquiring a life-threatening infection. The infection rate for those in private rooms is far lower.
So what is the most significant issue here?
Well, it's the shift to private rooms, and the title of this section is that privacy predominates. So our focus in that first day, we talked about privacy being a trend, something that the new hospitals are focusing on, and now it's become the most important thing in this architectural innovation.
Right. So it says here, for all the architectural innovation. So in other words, taking into account all these different changes, looking at the big picture, the most significant change, and when something is significant, it's very important. It's something to take note of, and that's the shift to private rooms. Why would we be shifting to private rooms?
It actually promotes healing, and it reduces the noise level. It reduces the traffic through the rooms. If you have two patients in a room or even four patients in a room, there's so much family that are in there for the different patients and so many doctors for the different patients and nurses that it just cuts down on all that overstimulation for the patients.
Okay. It says here also that it saves money, and that surprised me a lot to read that. I thought, no way, how can that happen? Well, as we continue, we find out more about how that works out. Now, Rose, we see that pre-bed construction costs are higher for all private hospitals. So, in other words, while they're building the hospital, it costs more,
But it says that the rates are actually higher in these private hospitals that have these private rooms, that it's actually lower in other hospitals that you have to share a room. And I know for me personally, if I'm going to a hospital and I have to choose which hospital I'm going to go to, I know I personally would choose a private room. I don't want to have a roommate. I want to have my own
right.
room.
I certainly don't want to have three roommates.
Right.
Wow.
No. Yeah. So occupancy rates, we usually hear that phrase when we're talking about hotels again. So we see that image coming back. But really, again, if people can choose between a private room or not, they'll choose the private room every time.
That's right. And a lot of parts of America, you have several hospitals to choose from. Mm-hmm. There are some insurance providers that want you to go to certain things like Kaiser or things, but most of the time you have a choice of two or three hospitals in your area. And of course, if you find out that you'll have to share a room at one hospital versus having a private room, you're going to choose the private option.
Right. So, in other words, those occupancy rates, we see the numbers here, there's a significant difference. It's up to 20% fuller, that private room hospital, than the one that you'd have to share with someone else. In the next paragraph there, we see that there have been numerous studies on this topic. And what are they showing, Sarah?
They show that sharing a hospital room increases the chances of acquiring an infection, like I was talking about earlier. And the infection rates for people who stay in private rooms is actually way lower.
Okay. So if you acquire something, you get it. And often that can be used in a positive way, like, oh, I acquired a new cell phone this week. But if you acquire any kind of disease or infection, of course, that's a bad thing.
Right. And life-threatening means that it could kill you. Anything that is life-threatening means it's threatening or endangering your life.
So basically, they're saying that a private room could save your life.
That's right.
Okay.
Sounds like they're smart choice to me.
Absolutely, and it seems like it pays off as well. Let's continue with our final reading for this article.
In all, according to research by the Institute for Healthcare Improvement, amenities such as larger single-patient rooms, bigger windows, cleaner air systems, and decentralized nurse stations add $30 million to the $350 million price tag of a typical 300-bed hospital. But the changes yielded annual savings of about $10 million, giving a payback of only 3 years. It costs less to operate a private room hospital, says Dr. George Tingwald of Stanford University Medical Center. So everyone is doing it. In fact, almost no one in the United States is building 2 bedrooms now, and in some states, health codes require that all rooms be private. Modern medicine has produced an astounding cornucopia of technology: medical devices, pharmaceuticals, imaging equipment, surgical tools. The hospital itself will now be part of that arsenal.
So, in all, according to research by the Institute for Healthcare Improvement, all of these different things that are being offered are really positive things.
That's right. Such amenities, we say, which is another hotel-like word. We're talking a lot about hotels in this lesson, but it's something that makes a room better. We almost always talk about either rooms or maybe an air flight that offers little perks or small benefits. And in this case, things like single-patient rooms, bigger windows, cleaner air systems, and decentralized nurse stations add cost to the building of a hospital.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so these are expensive changes. So according to this research, all these pros, these pluses, these perks, they cost some money. Now, a decentralized nurse station, what is that?
A decentralized nurse station means that not all the nurses gather in one place in the middle of your unit. They might be spread out throughout the unit, so it's not in a central location.
Okay, now is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it is a great thing. I think it will allow nurses to be closer to their patients' rooms, you know, being able to chart, so record what is going on with that patient right outside the room, or if the patient hits the call light, they're able to go into the room.
It seems like it might also contribute to what Sarah was talking about earlier, the whole noise reduction idea.
Yeah, it does. It reduces noise a lot, because if you get a bunch of women or men, you know, some men in there who are just laughing and, you know, maybe playing on their phone sometimes, and it just gets really loud and the patients, they can't rest, and you need rest in order to heal in a hospital.
Okay, so decentralizing the nursing stations. Again, the issue is you have to have more equipment in more places, so that will also add money. So it says here it could add $30 million to the already $350 million price tag of your typical 300-bed hospital. In other words, it costs a lot of money to build a good hospital.
It sure does. An almost 10% increase to add all these amenities or these things that we've talked about that are going to improve patient care. And is 300 beds, is that a typical size of a hospital in the United States, Sarah?
Yes, and it's actually here in Taipei that we've been looking at hospitals that have 900 to 3,000 beds because they have 4 or 5 patients to a room. But in the United States, because of the new private rooms that they're building, it's usually only 300 to 500 beds in a hospital.
Okay, mm-hmm. So in that hospital, we've just seen, okay, it'll cost that $30 million extra to create all these changes. Mm-hmm. But what's the payback here?
The payback is kind of what we talked about earlier, that that the annual savings about $10 million giving a payback. So the less infections that we're bringing into, you know, that patient having their private room, mm-hmm. that there's not as much infection going on, that we can save that money that we're spending towards the infection, we can put that back in the bank.
And also it sounds like if patients are healing faster, they're out of the hospital sooner, mm-hmm. and then someone else, a new patient gets that room, you get a whole new procedure, right?
That's right, and that's thanks to the wonderful music and artwork hanging in his room, or the lovely picture window that he has to look out at the scenery.
Okay. So very, very positive. And I think especially if we consider that idea that we had in the first day of how a lot of people are switching from the fee-for-service model to the flat fee payment model. It's the idea that a whole session of care gets paid for instead of the little pieces of a treatment, then the faster patients get healed and get out of there, actually, the more money the hospital makes, too.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So it works out well for everyone, seems like.
They increase their bottom line, and the room stops becoming a profit center where they try to do procedures just because they're going to make money on them.
Okay. So Dr. George Tingwald of Stanford University Medical Center says it this way. Sarah?
He says it costs less to operate a private room hospital. So everybody is doing it.
Yes,
which
it's
is true. Yeah, they a lot of the new hospitals that we are seeing built, they might have a couple double rooms, but for the most part, they're all single beds.
Okay, so everyone's doing it. In fact, we find out there's rules about this now.
That's right. It says that almost no one in the states are building two-bedrooms because of health codes. And a health code is something instituted by a city or the federal government in the United States that determines what can be done at a certain standard and what shouldn't be done. And so pretty soon it sounds like double and triple rooms will actually be illegal in the United States.
Have you noticed that, Rose?
Yes, I've definitely noticed that, kind of going back to that infection, just the less patients that are in the room, that if you only have one patient, then the less in and out there is. And so it'll definitely help with health codes and just keeping a cleaner environment.
Right. Okay, so we end off with a fun paragraph that's very descriptive, a little bit poetic, I'd say. Modern medicine has produced an astounding cornucopia of technology. What does that mean, Josh?
Well, a cornucopia means an abundance of something, and there certainly is an abundance of technology in medicine, from devices to drugs to imaging equipment to surgical tools. It's an endless array of innovation.
Okay, so what's a pharmaceutical?
New drugs that they're coming out with. Things like, well, they talked about Tylenol, just new drugs that are coming
medicines
out on the market for things. Yeah.
Okay, good. And imaging equipment?
Like taking an x-ray or a CT scan,
okay.
Those kind of things.
All right. So all of these different things are all part of this amazing new world of healthcare, but the hospital itself will now be part of that arsenal.
That's right. An arsenal is a term that means it's a large supply of something used for a unique purpose, and in this case, serving the healthcare community.
Right. I always think of in wartime having an arsenal of things to defend yourself with, and mm-hmm. So that's what we're doing here. We're trying to defend people against illness and disease, and it's an exciting future for hospitals, definitely. We're glad that you've been here over these past 3 days to enjoy this article with us. We hope you'll come back for the next one. But until then, this is Naomi,
Josh,
Rose,
and Sarah
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.